Most of them are little independent bookstores, which normally you'd think of as being a nice thing, but they were a lot of Christian stuff, a lot of right-wing stuff. Oh, thank you. I could hear that. Is that better now? Oh, good. I'm glad. I wouldn't have to strain myself. So what I did was start out with, and I'm going to have to interrupt occasionally as I reach back for my samples. I started out with a book that has fairly recently been published, Rich Media, Poor Democracy by Robert McChesney, who was a professor of journalism here at the campus, and he was kind of just not renewed when his renewal time came up, and he is now teaching down at, I believe, Champaign, Illinois. But he still comes up to Madison quite often to give talks. And he and John Nichols have gotten together, our editor of the Cap Times, and have written a smaller book called It's the Media, Stupid. and that's just kind of a summarization almost of this. This is really interesting. One of the things I pulled out of this, and I have several copies of this, so you can pick one up later if you're interested. As the time of this writing of this book was about 99 or maybe 2000, and he listed at that time, that's 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, this is a listing of the holdings of Time Warner. Now, there is a whole heck of a lot more than communications. There's television channels, there are film studios, not only in the U.S., everywhere, other places in the country, 47% of things, 90% of things. In Japan, Columbia House Record Company, they own 50% of that, and so on and so forth. It's just a very startling list. And as I said, I have several copies of this. What McChesney's main point is that at the time of the writing of that, I believe there were 7 major companies, multinational companies, that owned 99% of the media in this country, both print and broadcast, television, radio, etc. I believe there are now 6, and the number is shrinking. Rupert Murdoch is a big one. He has Fox television, but multiple other things. There was a thing in Isthmus a couple of weeks ago about Russ Feingold is looking at the numbers of companies that own all the radio stations in the United States. And that's even smaller. And there were some interesting statistics and facts in that article. This is a book that I think every household should own, A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn, 1492 to the present. It's the United States history is told from the viewpoint of the indigenous people, the slaves, and the other voiceless people that owned or were part of building this country and yet literally have no voice. I'm willing to borrow or to lend out, by the way, almost everything I show you. I will be back here at least on the 15th when John Nichols speaks. And if you want to borrow something and bring it back at that time, that would be just fine. I wanted to point out also a couple of other books. I just happened to get these. I saw these in the library and picked them up. I was on a waiting list a long time, by the way, for both of them. Bias, a CBS insider, exposes how the media distort the news. He believes that it's distorted to the left because what he's seen. Blinded by the right. This is the conscience of an ex-conservative. So that was a nice play on Barry Goldwater's original book about the conscience of a conservative. This man actually was involved with the impeachment of Clinton and a number of other major things, and somewhere shortly after that, he saw the light, so to speak, and exposes all, supposedly. I haven't read it yet, so you can't borrow. Have you? Did you like it?
Only because it kind of validated some of my viewpoints, but I thought
yeah.
He was kind of a creep. You know, he's a creep
there. Okay. Creeps don't change easily. There's another one that's on the bestseller list right now called The News About the News. And this is McChesney's book, in essence, much of the same material. However, it's very pro-newspaper, some newspapers. And it turns out both the writers are on the staff of the Washington Post. So figure that one out. easy to do. For one of the sources of a list of books that would be of interest to UUs, I think, is the bookstore catalog from the Unitarian Universalist Association. I happened to pick this catalog up at General Assembly, and they put this out, I think, a couple times a year. And it not only lists the books, you can buy them from them, it also gives a fairly good description of them. So you can find out about what's available from that. One of the things that I think we need to know as we're getting our news and information, anything but fiction, even that and sometimes, is that this is part of a free speech issue, which feeds into the one that Dolita is going to be starting. Will be carried on by John Nichols, and I'm not sure where else that's going to go. I won't be here for the winter, of course, but I am sticking around for John Nichols' talk. And The Nation, which is one that's familiar to many of you, there was an article in January, Huey Freeman, American Hero. Interestingly enough, it was written by John Nichols, who is a major contributor, I believe one of the editors of The Nation. And he's talking about Huey Freeman, the cartoon character, who's one of the very few places in many newspapers that you can get even one liberal word, or one word that speaks out against what the administration is doing now. And it's very bold, and I think he's been pulled from a couple of papers, but not many. They don't dare, because a lot of people like it. Yeah. I'm sorry? Huey. It's usually on the editorial page. Right. It's a little kid who's black, and he just talks about what the administration is doing in very forthright terms. I don't get a local paper either, except on Sundays. Actually, one of the best cartoons that I like that is he just barely mentions in here is the one that's in Isthmus, Tom Tomorrow. And that one is just savage against the administration and what's going on. I think it's excellent myself. There's one quote here from the little character. He says, well, just who in the heck actually won the election last year, huh? And the other character says, I don't think that question is legal anymore. That's very typical of what this guy writes. Okay, that's my first pile. I have a list of about most of these magazines and a little bit about them, and I have 20 copies of that list. So the first 20 people that come up here afterwards can take one. They're on both sides. And a few of these items are from the public library. I've marked those. You can't take those. And a few of them I have my name and address on. Those are the ones I want back. But most of them you can take and keep, because they're ones that, you know, I just get each month, and I think we all are familiar with the phenomenon of getting more than you know have time to read. It's just wonderful to own the stuff, though. I'm just going to mention some of these briefly, and maybe not even say anything about them, just hold them up so you have an idea. Z Magazine. Incidentally, about half of these magazines that I mentioned are carried by the library, and on the list that I've prepared, I've put an asterisk by those, because you can get them in the public library. Z Magazine, called an independent magazine of critical thinking. And one author in April spoke out about how the Pentagon made script changes and supplied helicopters and pilots to the making of the film Black Hawk Down, because as the U.S. at that time was discussing its policy towards Somalia, that may be the target country of a preemptive strike if Bush finds that Iraq is too unpopular. This one has the Bureau of Indian Affairs, multi-billion dollar shell game, marriage as the solution to poverty, the Pacifica crisis is settled, that's Pacifica Radio, and after 2 years they finally did settle that, the Argentine Rebellion. I hope all of you get the Progressive. I'm certain you're all familiar with it. It's published right here in Madison. Sam Day was the first editor. Then Irwin Knoll, our beloved man who died, and Bill Leaders wrote an excellent biography about him. And now Matt Rothschild, who goes about and speaks. Yes, Mike. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean he was the first editor. I'm sorry. He was one of the editors, followed by Irwin Knoll. Sam Day was the editor of this magazine, and in fact was partly an author of that article about how to build an atom bomb. And it was challenged in the U.S. courts, and they tried to sue them and keep them from publishing it, and they overcame that suit by the fact that he had gotten all the material in public venues, libraries. I don't know. They may have notified them and to do it as a challenge. I'm not sure. Somewhere I have a copy of that magazine. Sam gave it to me. He's got like stacks. He had stacks of them because it was pretty historic. One of the magazines that several people in this congregation suggested that I talk about is Yes. This one, and I know several of you get it, subscribe to it. It's in the library. They call this a Journal of Positive Futures. A couple of titles, Second Chance for Black Farmers, Successful Publicly Owned Power in Los Angeles, Successful Community Gardens in New York City, The Power of the Powerless, and this is an interview with Aung San Suu Kyi, who is the elected but non-active head of state in Burma. Those are not all in this particular issue, but those are in issues that I got out of the library. Dollars and Cents, which is an magazine about economics. In fact, their subtitle is What's Left in Economics, as opposed to the Right. So it's of interest, particularly if you are involved and interested in economic issues. One that I learned about when I traveled in Northern Ireland, one of the sub-editors of this magazine, Covert Action Weekly, traveled with that group. Now, this magazine has items about, some about the U.S., but a lot about non-U.S. matters, and they end up to be extremely highly predictive of things that are going to happen. And one of the major ones was U.S. pushing for a coup d'etat. This was an article about Hugo Chavez, and it was in May. That's 2 months before that overthrow happened. And others, they have legal victories against police violence in Seattle, global rollback of democratic gains, public services, common living standards. This is Michael Parenti, is an author that's known to some of you, speaks of the fourth world, such as Haiti, Congo, Afghanistan, and others. They're lower, way lower than what we term the third world. Most of these articles are heavily documented, lots of footnotes. These authors have done their research, and they know what they're talking about. I'm sorry? I believe it is not, but at Borders, yes. Covert Action Quarterly. I think I said weekly. It's quarterly. It's every 4 months. Now, this is a small pile of ones that I think of as sort of semi-religious or anti-religious. The Humanist is the American Humanist Association. Many of you are probably familiar with American Humanist Association. I found this first. I'd never heard of it before. I found it first at the a General Assembly some years back. They call this a magazine of critical inquiry and social concern. A couple of titles: The Art of Homelessness by One Who Tried It, Spirituality Without Faith, and this guy talks about naturalism as inspiration for spirituality. And here we have Forfeiting Liberty, and a guy writes about American Muslims. This is the Constitution, Preserve It or Lose It, Our 200-Year Heritage of Church-State Separation. They're very big with church-state separation. Carolyn DeJoie, by the way, is attempting to start up again, as she did in the past, a humanist association here in Madison. I attended one every month down in Louisiana. It was just an excellent venue for various speakers on politics and third world issues and police issues, and somebody talked about the cosmos. I mean, you know, it was great. But it's all very non-religious based. Then we have the secular humanists who publish this Free Inquiry, which I don't know a lot about. I'm about to subscribe to it. Sample titles in here are An American Junta? Humanism in Africa, An Atheist in the Military. And there's an article I see by Peter Singer, the well-known philosopher. Free Inquiry. And it's on my list here that you can pick up. They say they're celebrating reason and humanity. This is one of my favorite magazines, The Human Quest. And I happened to run into it when I was traveling in Arizona, and I met at a Peace and Justice weekly meeting at the university in Tempe. Was one of the men who operated that had been an editor of this. And so he still talked about it a lot. And it talks about, they're short articles, they're not highly documented, most of them, but they talk about religion and issues and how they intersect in our society. So some of the sample titles: Compulsory Celibacy, sorry. I didn't know so little about that, I can't even pronounce it. Israel has more weapons, Palestine more dead. Does the Vatican share blame for spread of AIDS? Anti-abortion terrorism threatens all Americans. The Jesus Seminar, which is big in some places. Is capitalism compatible with the Golden Rule? Mark Twain's The War Prayer, I hope you're all familiar with that one. He calls upon God to come and smite the enemy and make the children suffer and make the enemy writhe in pain, and it goes on and on. It's quite horrifying and very anti-war, and very effectively so. And when does an embryo become a person? There are a number of articles like that last one I named that I have actually copied out and left as flyers in laundromats. Because you see all of these, like, right-wing Christian tracts that people do that. So I figure somebody's got to counter with that a little bit. And this Human Quest, I've never seen it in a library anywhere. I get it by subscription. And anyone can borrow one of these, but all of these I want back because they're great. And I don't even know where all the rest of my copies are, but I've kept them all somewhere. Those are the semi-religious-based ones. Okay, a couple of these, some of these that I'm going to mention, you have to be a member. This is the member newsletter for Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And this is the national magazine, which I find that carries a lot of information about the women in various positions in it is a very international group. They're all over the world. And but there's quite often an interesting article on an issue of interest. The Nonviolent Activist is the member newsletter for War Resisters League. There's interesting one that I just ran into. There's an article on King Christian of Denmark, who you'll recall there's a story about he wore the armband with the Jewish star on it, and so everybody else wore it, and so the Germans didn't know who to grab and arrest. And that's actually something of a myth, apparently. But what the article in here says, the Danes didn't really need to rely on the king to do the right thing. It seems they did it on their own, which highlights the courage and decency of their whole general population. The king did it too, but he was not the first. It was kind of a spontaneous thing. And apparently there were several thousand Jews that were saved by this. They actually hid out in the homes of their neighbors and friends, non-Jewish friends. There were something with 6,000 or 7,000 Jews in one of their major cities. 200 were arrested and picked up by the Germans in one of the sweeps that they were going for. Whoops. Thanks, Paula. The Hightower Lowdown, I think a lot of you know about it. Those who do not should. It's very cheap. It's very small, so it's not a lot to read. They have one major topic each month and then several little side topics. Most of this is written by Jim Hightower, who's been here in Madison a couple of times. He's a Texan. He was a politician for a while, but I don't think he won his last couple of elections. He's very progressive, and he's also quite humorous. So it's not only fun, but you get your fun along with your good information. Unfortunately, subscription only, but like I say, I think it's like $12 a year for seniors, $15 a year for standard people, younger people. I guess seniors becoming standard in this country pretty soon. This is another one I've just started, the Washington Spectator, edited by a Ben A. Franklin. I assume that's his real name, but it's pretty coincidental. And this one is about Enronitis. With hearts of steel, corporate barons squirm on Wall Street. And the word steel is S-T-E-A-L. So that one also comes twice a month. And this one is also $12 a year for seniors, $15 for standard cost. This is one that I first found when I was in Seattle the year of the protests there. It's been published for some years. The Multinational Monitor. And these guys look at, I didn't even write this down. It's about corporations. And not just U.S. corporations, a lot of U.S.-based that have become multinational. And he speaks about their excesses and ways in which you can argue against them, fight against them, protest against them, and so on. Okay. And I'm going to take questions soon, if you could. Yeah, Rick.
Yeah, you've given us a long list. What effect do you think the Internet will have over media control? And also open for discussion would be questions like digital technologies where people can make movies or document events and put them on the Internet so people can see what happens. These things are growing exponentially. They must have.
I do have a small list of various Internet sites that are good. And
we can find, I guess, my question is, and the magazines we can find if we look.
Yeah.
But my question is, what effect do you think it will have? I mean, is it going to be overwhelmed by Time Warner, or is it, or will it eat away?
Let's talk about that when I'm just finishing up this, okay? Because I think many of you may have more logical opinions than I do.
Can I go on one more thing?
Sure. It's got a very good name, and I recommend that as one of the only newspapers. Actually, then there's one from England called The Guardian, And you find multiple articles by that on various internet sites. Okay. I don't know. Really? That you could find that on their website, and I think that would be exciting. I'd like to look into that. I've heard it commented by more than one pundit is that if you want to find out what's really happening in the United States, you better read the foreign press, because we don't get it here. I mean, which folds in with the example that I saw was about so few owners of all the media is that if you have a big company that owns a company that makes weapons, and it also owns a company that publishes newspapers, that newspaper is not going to be talking anti-war stuff. It's only logical. Okay, Extra is an excellent outlet for FAIR, which stands for Fair and Accuracy in Reporting. And this one is at the library, and it goes through every month a number of major breaking stories, and it pulls together what the major media have been saying about that story, and it exposes the untruth or the distortion or the hidden agenda that's available, that is in this, you know, in those stories in the mainstream. So this is quite excellent. I also happen to, the two men who do this, Jeff Cohen and Norman Solomon, I believe, one of them spoke in Madison a few years ago, and he talked about how much news you can get by reading the newspapers, and he was talking about mainstream, this was like 10 years ago or more, and watching television and reading Time Magazine and Newsweek or something like that. He said television is absolutely the worst way to get your news. And another book that I was reading said, for instance, in the local news, they get almost all of their stories from the police docket, you know, the whatever the police use, and then from events that have been scheduled ahead of time. And they often don't come to those events. I know that because I do this Lanterns for Peace on August 6th every year for the Hiroshima thing. We have had the press there only once out of 6 years. This year we had a photographer, and there were a couple of nice pictures in the paper the next day, but there was no person, there was no story, and that was because there was a major accident out on the interstate. I talked to the photographer about that. Now, this is kind of remarkable that you've got a major newspaper with so few reporters that if they pull one out for a major accident, they can't come to something that they might want to cover otherwise. And I think that's very typical of local news stations. Earth First. Yeah, I know, it's pretty controversial. It's been pretty controversial. But interestingly enough, Judy Berry, who was a major person in this, her truck was blown up about 10 years ago. And because they said that these people did not even try to investigate who had done it, and the FBI was there within 2 minutes of the incident. And they said this is, like, really suspicious. They have just won their suit against the FBI with a $3.2 million settlement. And apparently they convinced a jury, as they've convinced most people who have read the case, that the FBI indeed knew more than they should have and may have been a small part of it. Certainly they were willing to go along with it. And the Berkeley police were in the same place. Earth First has always been a great threat to a lot of the establishment in the Northwest, because they're very much against the clear-cut logging, which a lot of people believe that is their main basis of the economy up there. And Earth First was fighting against it fairly successfully. And one of the things, for instance, was that the bomb that blew up was directly underneath the driver's seat. And so the FBI claimed that they were carrying a bomb to plant somewhere, and it went off on them. Now, no logical person would put the bomb directly under them. So anyway, I have several copies of this. The Earth First Journal, and this is a membership only, I don't think you can buy it anywhere, and I don't believe it's in the library, talks about actions environmentally based all over the world. They talked about, and I don't think anybody else I knew about the tree sitters in England, where these people, large groups of people, would move up into the trees in large tracts of woods that were threatened by highway building. And they were successful in holding the government and the builders off, at least for many, many months. I don't think they've ever gotten them to retract and go another way. But they have at least brought a lot of public attention to the idea of what they're doing. The Socialist Dialogue is the newsletter from the Socialist Potluck, which happens here in Madison every month. It was run by Clarence Kalin, who, by the way, I understand is recovering nicely. He just turned, I think, 91 or 92, I'm not sure, and he was pretty sick for a few weeks in the hospital. You can't get this unless you sign up for it, but I think you could probably call Clarence Kalin's number, he's in the phone book, and ask to get a copy of this every month. What they do is talk about what's going to happen the next month, and they give a review or a summary of what was spoken about at the presentation the month before. And it's always interesting. Pinochet, Kissinger, and International War Crimes, a report back from Chile by Adam Schesch, who was in prison in Chile at the time that they were assassinating their own people, and heard it. He never saw them, but he could hear the guns. And there was another one later on. They were talking about the upcoming protests at the School of the Americas and about the Madison Area Peace Coalition, which formed in response to the war in Afghanistan. Every month they have really interesting speakers, and they have pretty good food. It's a potluck, after all. These that I'm naming off here are all local. By what authority? This is put out by an organization called POCLAD, which is a program on corporations, law, and democracy, and that started here in Madison. It's an anti-corporate group, and they do a lot of meetings and studies and stories, and I don't know a lot more about them. I've just learned about them recently. There are... very local ones. Money, Education, and Prisons started out as a protest against the prison down in Boscobel, and this group now studies issues, and they write short articles about them, but they're all central and southern Wisconsin-based. Networks News, Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, started in 1991, responding to the Persian Gulf Massacre. That was not a war. And this is every 2 months, and you can belong to it as an individual. They also have a list of the organizations that belong to it, and they now have over 80 of them Wisconsin-wide. And they have a great calendar of upcoming events in Wisconsin. And unfortunately, it's mostly around Madison because that's most of the people who write for it. That's where most of the things seem to happen. Newquatch, which used to be here in Madison, is now up in Luck, Wisconsin, which is quite a far ways north, put out a thing called Pathfinder, and that's just various nuclear issues. They've been very drumbeating about the upcoming move of materials to Yucca Mountain, the radioactive materials. Insurgent, those of you who've been around Madison for years and years recognize that name. It used to be a very well-known weekly free newspaper. They're starting again. They're no longer weekly. They just come out occasionally. But they did a big thing about Whole Foods and their vote to unionize. And there's quite a bit in one of these two on the mayor's conference, which many people were out protesting. We were not protesting the mayor's being here. We were protesting the fact that large corporations had all the access to the mayor's and the common person did not have any. In fact, the few people who tried to get some were arrested and beaten a little bit. The Global Local Forum, this comes out from Luck, Wisconsin also. It's partly Newquatch people and partly some others. It's northern Wisconsin and other Wisconsin venues. The Oregon Report, Bob, you'll like that, Death with Dignity. They were the first state to pass it. They're still struggling with various challenges to that. Moratorium News has to do with death penalty stuff nationwide. And I could go on. There's quite a few more up here. Again, I would love it if you'd come up and borrow some, take some. Most of them, like I say, are free for the taking, except those that I have marked. Questions? We've got 10 minutes. We can chat a little bit. And I'd love to get more ideas if anybody has them. Yes. I have heard that it's excellent, and I don't know anything about it. I've never listened to shortwave. I think you need a special radio for it or something. Yeah, Judy. Ah, they brought a prop. There is a shortwave radio. Yeah, okay. And I'm going to mention, by the way, the radio station is Wart, and you want to listen to it. And if you don't, if you're not in the middle of a job that you can't get away from, that you have to concentrate on, at noon, their noontime program on weekdays is excellent. And then from 1 to 2 is, yeah, Democracy Now. And that's what was on Pacifica Radio back when Pacifica was bigger, and it's growing again. And I'll tell you, they talk about stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. Yeah, Mike. I think, and you can also, you could always record it. It's a lot of news to watch. Yes.
It may well have been, but you knew a lot of people back then,
in
my view. A newspaper could be either published, whether written out, please. Public sources or private sources or secret sources. The government of this country has no business telling anybody what they may or may not publish. That's my view of the person.
That was.
No matter whether it's national security or the nuclear industry.
I disagree with that.
Absolutely not. The First Amendment says that there shall be no restraint. That's what it means.
If we want to.
Sorry,
yeah. I think maybe you guys should discuss doing a debate for one of the programs because it's a fascinating topic. I understand both points. I tend to agree more with Mike, but no, I can see it.
One more. The only email newsletter that I get is Consumer Health Digest. It's a weekly newsletter. It's done a marvelous job of exposing such things as chiropractic and acupuncture.
I'd like to see that because I like my acupuncturist. He makes me feel better. Yeah. World Health Organization recommends acupuncture for certain conditions. No, of course not. But that's only because we've been raised with science. Yes, Matchy?
I've been noticing that not only is the
infotainment, yeah. 60 minutes, I think, is still fairly good. And on television, WYOU, for those people who can afford or choose to get cable, they're Channel 4, so you can get basic cable for $15 a month, which makes your reception really good quality. And all Saturday afternoon on WYOU, there's a thing called Free Speech TV. And they've just pulled together videos from everywhere around the world that have to do with issues that are of interest to the U.S. And, you know, and it's very left wing. Yeah, Larry? And I don't think I mentioned Nation. I have a bunch of those here, too. Mother Jones is excellent for reporting, for doing research on various issues. And I've just found a sample subscription for $10 a year, which is just a steal. And I've just subscribed, but I haven't gotten my first issue, and I forgot to mention it. Sorry. Yeah, Ann.
Thank you.
two others I'm going to mention is Common Dreams. I think many of you know that. And there's Indie Media. And Indie Media started in Seattle at the protests, and they have just grown incrementally. They have groups all over the country, including one here in Madison. They're just establishing one in Milwaukee. They have them in several cities in other countries as well. Yeah, your hand. Wonderful. Oh, great. Tafu.
I just want to let people know that when they go searching for media, etc., that they have to be real careful because there are some very far-fetched groups that are trying to pretend that they're for the people.
Uh-huh. Who's sponsoring this? Who's behind this? Yeah, it's a good idea. I will mention one magazine that I found. I work as a volunteer with periodicals at the Maine Public Library, and I happen to run into the American Legion magazine, and that is the most virulent right-wing thing I've ever seen. Now, I admit that I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh and some of those others. I know a lot of people on the left do, and I think they're right. They should find out what they're saying. But I can't stand it. But this one, the title on the cover, it showed two hands in handcuffs, like the person was hanging by his handcuffs, and it said, "Why not torture?" And it was by Alan Dershowitz, you know, the lawyer. And he is saying that we should have torture, should be legalized. And then I found somewhere else that this has been being discussed for the last 3 or 4 months in some various forms of some various outlets of press, which was horrifying. It's under attack, yeah, right. And what do you think is happening to all those guys down in Guantanamo Bay? Yes. Thank you. It's excellent. Yeah, sorry. Or watching Channel 4, because that's thick with that stuff. Andy? Alexander Coburn, his quarterly. People who read Isthmus, he does write in Isthmus almost every couple of weeks, I think.
The other thing I would suggest is a little bit of hesitancy when you listen to such organizations such as the BBC, because they're controlled by the British government, and particularly when they're reporting on anything
to do with Ireland. Yeah. Well, you want to be careful reading Russ Feingold's newsletter. He's very pro-Israeli, and I think many people in this room are not. So, I mean, everybody's got their faults. So if you're aware of them, you can do that. It's like reading that book, News About the News, knowing these guys work for the Washington Post. They're really good on some of the TV stuff that they talk about and some of the magazine stuff they talk about. I don't think they're very objective when they talk about newspapers, particularly their own. Yeah, Betty? Do you recall the title? Okay. That's what she said. by Richard Swanson. I assume it's a fairly new novel. Yeah, back there. Without subscribing to them, or yeah. The problem with the internet is that not everybody has access to that, and yet it's assumed that everybody does. And I find that a very unfortunate classist thing that's rising in this country. Yeah. Thank you. We can take just two more questions. Rosemary.
As someone who kind of keeps track of language, I think how we use it and when we use it is very important.
You're right.
How do we use the word media? The word media is plural. The word media. And, you know, you started out your discussion with how few people control. Many of the media, and I think it's interesting that media has become both a singular and a plural, and I would bet that in the next issue of Webster's, it isn't already there, it would be acceptable as a singular.
That's interesting, you're right.
Yes. The other quick comment, also sort of ironic, is the cartoon is a non sequitur, so it's non sequitur from the radio show. I don't know, yes, but I'm sure a number of you saw it. The other thing you're really talking about is this comment, what you have to get and don't get, and how it's changed. This is a cartoon lampooning content, and I think it is interesting that we are making cartoons about this serious matter.
Sure.
If you have passed it around, I would like it to come back. I'm going to really make it come back
now. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And you're the last one. I'm sorry. Utney Reader. Yes. I've been disappointed in Utney because, for instance, the Progressive, just a few months ago, did a major article on documents that somebody had gotten out of the Defense Department that showed how the U.S. planned to do some country at some point in damaging their water supply and not allowing them to rebuild it. Well, Iraq came along then, and it was the perfect chance, and that's exactly what's happened. And that's one of the reasons that they are not allowing any either material or supplies in to clean up the water. They don't allow them to have chlorine. They don't allow them to have the materials and the supplies that they would need to rebuild their water system. And that's one of the reasons that they are losing 3,000 to 4,000 children every month under the age of 5. And as a grandmother, I find that absolutely horrifying. Just because those kids don't speak our language and they're a different color does not make them less important than our own. And yet Americans just seem to... That figure, by the way, is from the World Health Organization, or UNESCO, I forget. It's the UN. It's not somebody from Iraq. Okay. Dan, I hate to quit. I wish we could keep talking, and I never did talk to Rick about his. So, okay.
Thank you very much. Some of us might want to put our heads together and consider organizing a magazine swap. We have a lot of resources we can share. Put my 2 cents worth in. We have a hymn next, Step by Step, The Longest March, number 157, not page 157 in the hymnal. love that song. I'm going to start the offering baskets around. And I'd like to encourage any guests and visitors that we have to introduce themselves. We don't require it, but we encourage you to let us know a little about yourselves and what brought you here. Anyone? Anyone new? Or anyone who'd like to introduce them? Okay. Arini? What was the name?
Daruni.
Daruni. Welcome again. Okay. And now is the time for concise prayer announcements. And since I have the microphone, I'm going to make mine first. I have two social action-related announcements. One is that this next Tuesday morning is our shift to provide breakfast for men at the homeless shelter. And we are fully staffed, and we have somebody who's going to purchase the groceries. So I'll just start a can around to take a collection to help pay for those groceries. My second announcement has to do with a community service that Prairie has been involved in for about 2 years now. And it's the Madison Interfaith Hospitality Network, where we provide services. We work together with other churches to provide services to homeless families. I have an information sheet out on the greeting table, and the sign-up board is out there. What we're currently doing is that we're doing an All Prairie Day Wednesday, September 4th, and we're providing all the staffing and services for that day. I think we could still use a breakfast host or two and somebody to help prepare the meals. If you'd like more information about our involvement or how you can participate, please talk to me afterwards. And I'm going to start the can. Announcements. Bob Park.
First, I'd like to announce that for those of you who are in the internet, also the media site, the Prairie Social Action Committee website, on this, click on the media button. Many of those mentioned there are there, and on the end, it's more today. So, that's a little bit.
Excellent.
And some of you know that after the program today, I'll be meeting with the community. Very high school, which is going to probably be in the United tomorrow. If you want to go there, or just send in your comments, and your questions about this particular rule. The hearing is at 1:30 p.m. Maybe one of the things you want to comment on. I'm in the comments tonight, but here's the schedule that people are working in. If you happen to work for a company that wants to comment,
thanks, Bob.
Bob, it was suggested that I put the list of magazines that I talked about on your web. I'll send it to you. So, okay. Those of you who want to get it out there.
Barbara?
Next Sunday, the Homeless Services Prairie is our annual community trip. And you can join us all at Bloomberg Park at 10 o'clock. You don't have to have a community day. Then there will be a picnic at 12, and Warren is bringing the prairie fire. Seems to rain, but not beautiful. The picnic will be camping. So please bring dishes, beverages, and food to share, and a camera, and lawn chairs are also be appreciated. Sunday afternoon is our in-gathering service, where the kids will be introduced, and we will be having a water communion. Really just to share stories where we were this summer and bring a sample of water. If you forget your water, the water can be certainly symbolic, just as a candle is involved in whatever you say it is. If anyone has extra small canisters or small containers, please bring those for other people that may not have. And also, I would just like if anyone has a beautiful, earthy-looking ceramic bowl that we can use to make this a really beautiful service, please talk to me about that.
Got one. Betty, you had your hand up.
I'm going to see if you look around at what's happening in Madison.
Pet. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary?
I have a form done for the prairie retreat. They're all on the table. I've given some, all of you who should come in. And some have already given me their check and form all filled out, so I'll take any others that would like to do that today. And the deadline for getting them in is Sunday, September 15th. This is called the Retreat at Bethel on October 26th. And I think Robin wants to get that.
So any ideas for program you'd like to lead or one you'd like to also lead? Or ideas for programs, please contact me. My phone will be on the in my email address.
If they want to mail in their registrations, where should that go, Mary?
To Prairie.
To Prairie. Okay. And Pat. I assume they'll have speakers during that time. Oh, and presenting awards also. Any further announcements? Then we'll have the closing words by Nancy.
I had a little poem, and it's in this mess somewhere. So I'll put it in Prairie Fire because it's kind of nice. I guess I will just encourage you all to go out and spend some time every month doing some reading. Go to the library and sit and read it, or take them out, or go to Borders if you've got a few bucks. None of them are really cheap. But do them. Read them. We need to know more than what we get in even in the cap times or Isthmus. Thank you.
And And please join us for coffee, or join in together for coffee.